Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Last show before Christmas, and so today is our extremely special Christmas special. And I'll tell you about why it's so extremely special momentarily. It will be an open forum, but we won't be taking calls. But I think you're going to enjoy the show a great deal, despite the fact that we won't be taking calls, because we will have lots of questions. Second hour, Tim Staples will be here with us. First hour, our chaplain, Father Sam Keyes. Hello, Father.
Hello, Cy.
Too early to wish you a Merry Christmas? It is, because I forgot. You're kind of a stickler for this. No, happy Advent, Father.
Happy Advent. A happy, sad Advent to you.
Well, now, you're going to have to explain that. Why are you wishing me a happy, sad Advent?
Well, you're supposed to be, repenting of your sins and kind of stuff.
Yep,
preparing for the end of the world and for your own imminent death.
Okay, Merry Christmas, Father.
It's true.
Because we have a buffet outside the studio right now of cookies and donuts and all that. And I feel like I said,
imminent
maybe
death.
I should have been repenting and preparing for death a little more than I was. I'm not going to give out the number today because all of the questions come from some people we call Catholic Answers Kids. These are the kids of various folks connected with Catholic Answers in one way or another. That's why there's cookies and cider and eggnog, and Edgar is wearing possibly the most ridiculous Christmas sweater I have ever seen out there. And Father is in his beautiful Christmas jacket. And I was going to, Father, look at this Christmas hat. I got this Santa hat to put on.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Because rudely, whenever I wear this red sweatshirt, many people in the building here call me Santa.
Oh.
Yeah, and I find that rude. I mean, because you know what they're saying. You're an old, chubby person. That's what they're saying to me when they say that. So I got this Santa hat to wear. Mm-hmm. Let me just give you a piece of advice. Don't get your Santa hats at the 99-cent store. Because I don't know who it's for. It's for an infant, I think.
Okay.
Like, it wouldn't even fit over one of my ears. So it's draping the microphone right now. Mm-hmm. So you brought your five kids.
Yeah, they're out there.
And Mrs. Keyes. I love it that you always call her Mrs. Keyes. It's very, very formal.
I spent some time as a teacher in a high school setting. And, I was at a boarding school where they were very big on, of course, this was back when I was, before I became Catholic, I was an Episcopalian. But they were big on, proper forms of address and titles. And, when you're kind of dealing with teenagers and kids and they wanted to make sure that they're kind of learning this kind of these good manners.
That's so good. So. I mean, because manners is really, really important. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the way that we show, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you treat your neighbor with manners, you're a long way towards doing that. Mm-hmm. I want to say one thing before we invite any of the kids in. I don't know who's going to come in first, but I think maybe one of your kids, maybe James, is your oldest,
yeah,
James.
Yeah.
We also have, if you're watching on the video, you can see this displayed in front of us, a variety of Christmas presents. And the kids, after they ask their question, will get to choose their present. That includes dinosaurs.
Do they have to justify their choice?
No, they don't have to explain anything to us, no. But there's Catholic Answer stickers that the kids can pick, a Trent Horn sticker. Oh. How do you like that? Or a Jimmy Akin sticker. Or they can pick a dinosaur or a little a truck. Looks kind of like a little Tonka truck type of thing. Or some Christmas puppy socks. Or they can pick a cup of noodles. It's chicken cup of noodle. So it'd be interesting to see. We're going to get some help for any child that picks cup of noodles. We're going to go, okay. All right. We've got to make an appointment for you. All right. So should we start with James? Is James ready to come in? Does James want to come in? James has a cookie in his hand. Way to go.
Come on in.
We fired the kids up with a lot of sugar before starting the show. Here comes James. He busts through the door. Hello, James.
Hi.
Go ahead and when you talk, go ahead and talk right into that microphone. And just lean forward and hello, James.
Hi.
Would it be okay if I said Merry Christmas to you, or is it too early to say Merry Christmas? What should I do, James?
I think either way you want.
Oh, what a beautiful child. All obviously has his manners, so you've been taught your manners. Do you know this man over here?
Yes, he's my dad.
Oh, he's your dad. All right. And have you ever seen him wear a jacket quite that nice before?
No.
Well, James, we're really glad you're here. You want to tell us how old you are?
9 years old. I'll be 10 at the 26th in February.
Oh, you are almost 10. You're almost in double digits. Congratulations, you're almost there.
Thank you.
When you ask your dad this question, go ahead and talk right into the microphone so that everybody can hear your question, James.
Okay, here's my question. So, who was the first person to ever believe in Jesus, that Jesus was God?
That's a great question. Can I ask you, what do you think? Do you have a guess?
I personally think that it might be Mary.
Okay.
Because she's his mother.
Yeah, I think that would make a lot of sense. Yeah, in fact, the New Testament at one point uses this, it talks about, you know, she who believed what was promised of the Lord. On the one hand, it's hard to answer that question definitively because we're talking about something that's inside, right? We can't read people's thoughts. But based on everything that Mary does and what she does say, it seems pretty clear that she knows what she's getting into. She knows who Jesus is. There are others too. I mean, there's some other figures maybe, like Joseph. Joseph probably understands pretty early on who Jesus is. Can you think of any others?
Like,
think about the Christmas story.
I think that, like, if he had a best friend, then his best friend could probably, like, believe in him.
Oh, okay. Oh. So some of the disciples that he was really close to, so people like Peter and John who spent a lot of time with him, and, yeah, they probably understood pretty soon. But I was actually thinking about the Christmas story, and there are two different groups. I mean, one kind of Christmas night itself, the shepherds, right? It's hard to know exactly what they're probably not, you know, thinking in exact terms of like what the Council of Nicaea tells us in 325 of the being of the same substance of the Father, right? But
those would be some mighty intelligent,
they would be some pretty awesome
and prescient shepherds.
You know, but remember, yeah, they get this message from the angels who said, "Today is born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Right? That's pretty serious. That's a pretty serious claim there.
Yeah.
And they go and they worship him. And for a Jewish person to worship somebody who's not God would be horrible. That would just be scandalous. And then sometime later then, when we get to the Epiphany and we get to the Magi, they also worship him and they give him gifts. And one of the gifts famously I'm trying to think of the three gifts and their kind of traditional significance, but you know, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So gold for king, frankincense for, you know, priesthood or divinity, in fact. So if you know the song "We Three Kings," you know,
would you like me to sing it? "We Three Kings." People are so lucky. What a treat of Orient are bearing. I'm not done, Father. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, no. So the frankincense. I know, like in that carol, it mentions, you know, it's a sign of divinity, you know, because you offer incense for a god.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so the kind of the gifts of the Magi, as well as, in fact, just the fact that they have come to worship him, to pay him homage, that's a sign that they have a pretty good idea of what's going on. Yeah.
Also, like, they had to be, like, they had to really believe in him to, like, not obey, like, their king, because their king ordered them to, like, give him the directions.
Oh, that's
to
right.
King Herod.
Yeah, the King Herod. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so they had really believed, like,
who teaches you all this stuff? How did you get so smart? Mom?
Dad.
Oh, your dad? Yeah, he's also smart.
Give
too.
Your mother some credit, I think.
Also, I did win a bet with Mom, like, about Joseph, Joseph crushed the cow and made them drink it by himself. That was my idea. Mom said that God told him to make them drink the powdered water.
Oh, you're talking about Moses?
So yeah. Wait a second, you, James, you have Bible bets with your mother? And then the two of you open up the Bible and see who knew the Bible better?
No, Mom, like, it goes onto her phone and looks it up, and then, like, I just win in it.
Your mom looks, well, she looks a little, I don't know, quite how to characterize the look on her face right now. Now, you get to pick any Christmas present you want. You realize we have dinosaurs. As a matter of fact, do you know what your son did when he came
socks.
In here?
Socks.
They're socks, right?
Love socks.
But I said, I have no idea what that dinosaur is. And he goes, that's a cephalopops.
Pachycephalosaurus.
Yeah, pachycephalosaurus. I was like, yeah, I knew that, James. Go ahead, pick whatever you'd like, James. Pick whatever you like. A drum roll. James picks the bulldozer. James, thank you very, very much for coming in. And I hope that you have a very Merry Christmas.
I will. You're welcome. Goodbye.
Goodbye, James. That's our first Catholic Answers Kid. It's Catholic Answers Kid Show today. Father Sam Keyes is our guest this hour. Next hour, Tim Staples will be here. We are loading the kids up with sugar and bringing them in and letting them ask whatever question they want. We'll continue with that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This is Bernadette Boguski, Executive Director of WCCR Cleveland, AM 1260 The Rock. Why do we need Catholic radio? To reach the hearts, minds, and souls of those who are searching for deeper meaning and don't know where to turn. To bring clarity to a world full of lies and confusion. And to share the good news of joy and mercy with a world so desperate for the truth.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio. Now, more than ever.
Back, Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And it's the extremely special Christmas special here on Catholic Answers Live because today, I have to say, I'm just overjoyed to get to do this again because there was that little pandemic interruption where we didn't have the kids come in and gather around and do all that. And maybe we should have, but I don't know. We just didn't.
Children are dangerous.
I know that. No, Mary says no. Our guest this hour, as the kids of Catholic Answers families come in and ask their questions, our guest this hour is Father Sam Keyes, our chaplain, who is not only a wonderful chaplain, but willing to wear the most ridiculous Christmas jacket through the entire hour. And we really appreciate that. I really do want to encourage you, especially while your wife is here in the studio with us, to wear that on date night. I think that is a date night jacket. Wouldn't you love to be seen with that out in... Yeah. Again, the look on the face.
Yeah, she's not sure.
All right. So our second questioner is Mary. And Mary is also one of Father Sam Keyes' children. You're the second oldest in your family, right? And I see your brothers and sisters in here with you. Can you just tell us, Mary, the names of your brothers and sisters that are in here?
So there's David and Edith and Freddie.
Ah, very good. And we're glad you're here, David and Edith and Freddie. And you actually, we have all these presents up here, but I don't think you're going to pick one of these presents when we're done, are you? No, you're going to take my little koala from Australia. I see you looking at it. So go ahead with your question for your dad. And then when we're done, you can take the koala.
So my question is, why is one of the seven joys of Mary when Jesus on the crucifix?
That does not seem like a joy, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, so why, Father, is that one of the seven joys of Mary?
Can you sing the song for us? Do you know this song?
Will you sing it with me,
Mary? It's a wonderful carol.
Okay, she said no, and I kind of agree with her.
The joy that Mary has, it was the joy of six, to see her own son Jesus Christ upon the crucifix. Upon the crucifix, good man and blessed may he be, he, both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost through all eternity. Anyway.
I'm clapping for your dad. Oh, Mary's giving you a very polite clap.
Yes, she's very polite.
She looks like she should have a cucumber sandwich
That. We love that song in our house. We have a few different versions of it. And if you're not familiar with it, you should look it up.
But I'm with Mary. That does not sound very joyful.
Yeah. Well, I think It is. And I think the reason why we think of that as, I mean, it's a pain too, right? It's also one of the sorrows of Mary. We talk about the sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And Saint Simeon at the presentation says to her, a sword will pierce your own heart also. Traditionally, the church talks about Mary actually sharing in the sufferings of Jesus. So even though she's not literally, physically suffering in the same way that he is, she experiences a lot of that on an emotional level, out of kind of solidarity with him and out of her deep love for him. So it is a sorrow, but actually this is a great Advent message. Sorrow sometimes can also be mixed with joy. The crucifixion is for Christian people a joy because it's how God saves us. It's how Jesus shows us how much he loves us. And in that kind of perfect offering of himself in his humanity and divinity, he opens for us the gates of heaven and allows us to come back into fellowship with God by paying for our sins, by healing the wounds of sin and death in us. All of that happens through the cross. And so even though the cross is it's a horrible thing, it's a sad thing, but it's also a wonderful thing. And Jesus says to his disciples at the Last Supper, he says, you know, you will have sorrow. He's kind of looking ahead. He says, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. And that's a great example of that, because the cross itself is this sign of death and suffering, and yet it becomes for us a sign of joy, because it's how, again, it's how God shows his love for us and how he restores us into fellowship with him. Does that make sense to you, Mary?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mary, you are so nice, and we're so glad you came. And was I right? Are you going to pick the koala? For your present.
Yes.
You want to invite your brothers and sisters to come over and wave in the camera too, so they can be on the camera with you? Edith, do you want to come see yourself in the camera?
Yeah.
You guys are welcome to come over. I'm not giving out the phone number today. I'll let the people watching see the Keys family coming. Edith, right there. You're in that camera right there. As kids come in and ask questions, these are the Catholic Answers kids that are coming in and asking their questions. Tim will be in the second hour to take their questions. They get to pick a prize. And the prizes include everything from dinosaurs and trucks to Christmas socks and Trent Horn stickers and a cup of noodles. And one koala. And your mom will help you get the koala down before you go. Don't worry about that. Your mom will help you get the koala down. All right. Thanks, everybody. Will you give a wave? And then we got to let the next person come on in. Bye, Edith. Edith can see herself in the camera. She's mesmerized by seeing herself in the, yeah.
Yeah.
Edith, were you watching your dad in the camera before? Edith is hypnotized. Never mind. We've lost Edith. Okay.
All right.
What you guys obviously need is more cookies. So go ahead, head out there for the cookies. Who's coming in next? Do we have someone coming in next?
Is it Claire?
Claire's coming in? All right. Claire. Hello, Claire. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, Edith, can you move from the seat so that Claire can sit there?
Yeah, and Freddie's redoing the computer over there. We are having fun in here. Because they see their dad on all these things, so they're like grabbing. Look at him. Hi, Freddie. Yeah. Hello, Claire. Can you put your mouth right up next to the microphone when we talk?
Okay.
And Claire, who works here at Catholic Answers? Your mom or your dad?
My mom.
And your mom's name is?
Brooke.
And Brooke came in. Hi, Brooke. Thanks for coming in. And Claire, I know something about your mom and dad, and I wonder if it's true about you. They are both artists.
Yep. Right?
Yep, they're both artists. Are you an artist too?
Yep.
And what's your medium? Do you paint or do you sculpt or do you draw?
I just mostly draw.
You just mostly draw? You have a favorite thing to draw?
My family.
Oh, wow, Brooke. Well, your mom's going to start crying over there, Claire. Claire, thank you for coming in. This is our chaplain, Father Sam Keys. I think you know Father Sam. You can go ahead and ask any question that you want.
Do dogs go to heaven?
Oh, that's a great question. I love this question. So you're going to get some different answers depending on who you ask. So so there are a lot of you know, Catholic theologians would probably just say, no, dogs don't have, they don't have a, you know, rational nature, which is true. You know, they're, we are different from dogs, in case you haven't noticed. You know, dogs are wonderful creatures. They do what's in their nature, right? And they have a wonderful nature, which is created by God. My answer is that it's not quite that simple. And the reason is really, it comes down to what exactly do you mean by heaven? And I think a lot of Christians tend to over-spiritualize heaven in that they think of heaven as some sort of like disembodied kind of just floating around or something like that. But the images that we get in the Bible are actually of a kind of renewed creation. So the idea of a new heaven and new earth, the new Jerusalem, and this kind of perfection of all created things in which God's presence has kind of fully become manifest and made known in all of creation. And so when I think about that kind of picture of heaven, of that kind of full and perfect communion with God, I find it actually hard to imagine there not being dogs, you know, because human beings love dogs. They love their dogs, right? I mean, it's man's best friend.
I love most of my dogs.
So, you know, that doesn't mean that they have a rational soul in the way that human beings do. It simply is that they are part of created nature, and so therefore, I put it this way too. Do you want heaven to be just the kind of bare minimum, you know, like, or I think heaven's all about like abundance and this kind of overflowing goodness of God.
Dogs are certainly part of the overflowing goodness.
Yeah, right. That's
of
my
God.
Answer.
There is no question about that. Claire, do you have a dog?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right up into the microphone. What's your dog's name?
Sammy.
What do you think, Father Sam Keys?
It's a good name.
Do you like that?
It's a good name.
I think Sammy is a good name. Claire, I'm going to describe for you the various Christmas presents we have up here. We have little trucks. We have dinosaurs. We have Christmas puppy socks. We have Trent Horn stickers. And we have a cup of noodles. Do you know which present you would like to pick?
Yep.
You want to tell us, or are you just going to surprise us by coming up here?
I'm just going to come up here.
Okay. I'm going to announce it, what you pick. Go ahead. Pick
what
any,
do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be a dinosaur myself. I think it might be a dinosaur.
I think she might go for the socks.
You think maybe puppy socks, Christmas puppy socks? And she got a blue dinosaur. You know what? I'll tell you what. This came with the dinosaurs, and it's like a prehistoric plant. Maybe your dinosaur would like to eat it. Go ahead. Claire and Brooke, thank you both very, very much. Merry Christmas, or a happy Advent, as Father would prefer.
But are there dinosaurs in heaven?
Well, they ain't here. So I don't know if you're good. Let's just say if there are dinosaurs, you're not going to find them here. You're going to have to go there.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Oh, look, we have another question.
Oh, another person to come ask a question. Beautiful. Come on in. Hi.
Can you sit down on the chair? There you go.
There you go. Sit right there.
Can you help?
Also someone with two artist parents. Mm. Both of her parents are.
Hold on. You gotta wait until he's ready.
Oh, hi. Can I guess your name? Is it Azalee?
Azalee.
Okay, Azalee, you gotta go. Just talk right in the microphone and ask Father anything you'd like.
Hi, Azalee.
Any question you want.
Hi. Hold on, Chloe.
So what's your question?
Where does Mama Mary pray for us?
Oh, Azalee, what a beautiful question.
Why does Mama Mary pray for us? It's because she loves us very much, I think, and she cares about us, and she wants us to come to heaven and be with her and Jesus. And so she gives us as much help as she can all the time.
Is that a good answer, Azalee?
Mm-hmm.
And your dad works here. Your dad is Shane, and he made that book cover right there, that pro-life book cover. I'm just letting people know. And did you know your daddy drew that? And painted that and made it. And, And I think your mom does the same kind of work for our main enemy. No, not our enemy. No, I shouldn't have said it that way. For EWTN, right?
Yeah.
All right. Azalea, we have all these presents up here, and you get to pick one. Would you like to come pick one? Yeah. You can pick anything you like, and then I'll let people know what you picked. And I didn't ask Azalea how old she is.
Three.
She's 3 years old. And she gets to pick whatever gift she would like. And Azalea, while you're picking, I'm just going to let people know that today is our super special Catholic Answers Christmas special. And Azalea, oh, she picked the dinosaur. What was that? Your son said the name of that dinosaur.
I don't even know.
The package Cephalosaurus. And thanks. I hope you had fun, Azalea. We're so glad that you came in. I love your dress. It's beautiful. More questions from the Catholic Answers kids on the super special Christmas special edition of Catholic Answers. Father Sam Key is our guest. I see a whole bunch of staples out there, so I know Tim's in the building. I see Rose and Luke and a whole bunch of them. We'll come back with more questions from the Catholic Answers kids on the Catholic Answers super special Christmas special right after this.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com. Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Does the Church have too many rules? Join me, Dr. David Anders, as we answer your questions right here on Called to Communion, Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
At some point in this super special Christmas special, we need to get Edgar in here on camera.
I agree.
It's a little bit of Christmas magic.
And you know, if you gave him this jacket to wear over the sweater, it would be an amazing combination. And I think that people might actually go blind from the glory of it.
Yeah, the glory of it. That's what it is. It's glorious. And he's getting married in July. Edgar's getting married. He's marrying Lena. Can you believe that someone with a sweater like that is getting married? Like, doesn't that impress you?
I can believe it, yes, because...
he can't hear us. I'm trying to mess with him, but he can't hear us. He's out through an extra pane of glass. All right, it's the Catholic Answers super special Christmas special, and it's all about the Catholic Answers kids getting to come in and ask whatever question they want. After having consumed eggnog and cider and cookies and chocolate bark and all kinds of things. And now we have Shane with his dad, Solly. Hi, Shane, with your dad. Oh, wait a second. I got that backwards. You're not the dad, are you, Solly? Hi, Solly. Where's your dad? Which one is your dad around here? He aimed his shoulder. He gave me the shoulder aim. Very good work, Solly. Shane, welcome. Solly, welcome. Do you have a question that you'd like to ask Father? Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead.
Why did God put dinosaurs on the earth?
Oh, why did God make dinosaurs?
You don't have an easier question for Father? That's a hard question.
Maybe I should take off the jacket.
Yeah, no, he's going to start sweating given this answer. Why did God put dinosaurs on earth?
Okay, first, can I just say that you guys are like winning in the child naming? Just it's
oh, you like that?
Yeah. So why did God make dinosaurs? I think the answer is just like, why did God make anything else? Because God is amazing and awesome and full of creative goodness, and all of creation, including dinosaurs, including you and me, is a kind of expression of God's overflowing goodness, you know, that God is so good and so powerful and so wise that he wanted to share that goodness outside of himself. And so he made the world and all the cool and amazing things that are in the world, or were.
now we got to find out, Solly, do you like dinosaurs?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite dinosaur?
The T-Rex.
The T-Rex is your favorite. Oh, very, very good. Well, Solly, you get to pick a Christmas present, and you can pick a Trent Horn sticker. You can pick Christmas puppy socks. You can pick a truck. You can pick a box of cup of noodles or any dinosaur that you want. Go ahead and grab whatever you like, and then I will let the audience look at that. Oh, wait, that's a... I don't even know what to... That's a front loader. It's a digger. Nice. He got a nice truck. Nice job, Solly. I could have sworn he was going to go for the dinosaur.
Yeah, I know.
You are very welcome. He's so polite. Solly, thank you very, very much for coming in. And Shane, I just want people to know you came here this year. And we're so happy you're here because you're doing so many beautiful graphics, designs, including that pro-life book that's going out all over the world. So thanks, Shane.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Merry Christmas, and or as Father says, Happy Advent. And I think we got a Staples kit coming up next. I think we're starting on the Staples tribe next. Is it going to be Hannah? Hello, Hannah. Come on up.
All right.
Hannah Staples is one of the seven Staples children. Is everybody in your family going to ask a question, Hannah? Do you know?
Six of them.
You can just pull that right in front of you. All right, Hannah. And look, your dad came in with you.
Yeah.
So, and I think that the reason your dad came is to judge Father Sam's answer, Okay, so here, I'm going to ask you a question and now answer it in front of one of the world's best Catholic apologists.
He's going to pull out his lecture from his pocket and be like, here's the real answer.
Well, seven of your 9 points were correct, Father.
Oh.
But he said, stop it. Hannah, we're so glad you're here. It's always nice to see you. Is it too early to say Merry Christmas to you, or can I say Merry Christmas to you?
You can say it.
Oh, thank you, Hannah. Merry Christmas. Do you have any Christmas lights up at your house?
Yeah, we have all of them.
Oh, you have all of them?
We have all of the Christmas lights.
Yes, you do.
That explains why ours aren't working.
Yeah, because Hannah has all of them on her house. Hannah, did you bring an easy question for Father or a hard one?
I'm not really that sure, but I think it's probably easy.
Really? You think this was easy? All right, go ahead, Hannah, with your question for Father Sam Keyes.
My question is, why does God let the bad people kill the good people?
Wait, in your house, that's an easy question?
No.
Well, no. I think Hannah's right. I think it actually is a fairly easy question. I mean, it's just all about free will, that God created us with free will, and God doesn't coerce us. And so part of the consequence of that is the possibility of evil. And, you know, that's the nature of the creation that God made. He didn't want us to be robots. He didn't want us to be kind of mindless beasts. You know, he wanted the human person with this great dignity and freedom that is capable of choosing the good and choosing to worship God and be friends with God for all eternity. But the kind of side, you know, the thing that kind of goes along with that is that we have the freedom to choose against God and to choose evil. And so God isn't going to stop us. Now, eventually, when all things are made right at the end, this is kind of what we're looking forward to in Advent, the kind of second coming of Christ, when he comes to judge the world, there will be an end to evil. That doesn't mean an end of free will, but it means a kind of final judgment in which those who have chosen evil will be sent to everlasting punishment, and those who have ultimately chosen God will be with him in heaven. Yeah.
Okay.
And remember this, Hannah, God will not allow anything to happen that he doesn't know he's going to be able to bring good out of it.
That's right, yeah.
And that is a real comforting thing to remember, right?
Yeah.
So good ultimately triumphs over evil, right?
Yeah.
Even the worst things. Even the
she
worst.
Gave a thought, though. I like that.
Well, no, that's hard, because we don't always see it at the time, right? I mean, the fact is, but there is no evil that God cannot ultimately transform into good. Yeah. And that is, of course, central to the message of the cross, like that we did the worst thing we could possibly do in killing God, and yet even that has been transformed into something good.
Hannah, you did an absolutely fantastic job, as you always do, and it's always nice to see you. And you know, we have all these presents up here that you get to pick a present. You can pick, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to give you two choices. You can pick either a cup of noodles or a Trent Horn sticker. Everything else is off out of bounds for you. Oh, she gave me the look. All right, go ahead, Hannah. Pick anything you want, including the Christmas puppy socks and the... she picked cup of noodles!
Are
you just teasing me, or do you really want the cup of noodles?
She likes those.
Hannah, you are the best. That is awesome. Luke, would you mind if I hold you? Because Luke Staples is going to be next. Would you mind if I hold you through the commercial?
Because
that's a Jimmy Akin sticker, and that's a Trent sticker. And you can actually just have those. Yes, you can.
There you go.
Wait a second. I am so worried about Hannah right now.
She likes
all these
Trent
presents
Horn.
Up here. She picked a Trent Horn sticker and a cup of noodles. Hannah, are you okay? Okay, good. I we're going to go to the break, but before we go to the break, I just wanted Edgar to come in here. Edgar's screening all of these questions. How's it going out there screening the questions,
it's
Edgar?
It's going great. It's sugar-filled and all. So.
Yeah, it's like how many cookies have been ground into the carpet out there?
I try not to look down. That's going to be the disastrous part. So we're going to make you vacuum afterwards, right?
Oh, I'll vacuum, yeah, because I caused this. But Edgar, of course, produces the podcasts here at Catholic Answers. He does the call screening. He's getting married in July, and he looks absolutely ridiculous right now. Congratulations on that sweater.
Oh, thank you very much.
Did you make that?
I did not make that. So what I try to do, I was telling Father Sam earlier that I have a tendency to make children cry at the moment that they first see me. I try to be as non-threatening as possible.
Well, I understand, but because you're big, you loom over them. You're very tall, and you have a beard. And sometimes beards do throw kids off a little.
Especially if it's not white and, like, you know, you're not wearing a Santa suit, so you don't look as jolly.
Yeah, that can still scare a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Just a couple days ago, I was at a place where they had a Santa, and like, every other kid was crying. You know, I was kind of noticing this.
You have to admit, Santa is pretty scary.
No, he's not. Look at all these children out here. We're not saying that, Edgar.
Okay. No, you know what? He's
Santa
jolly.
Santa is
he's
extremely
great.
Jolly and lovely and makes everyone happy. Edgar?
Absolutely.
Edgar, we're so glad you're here.
Thank you.
Have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
We'll be right back with more of the super special Christmas special on Catholic Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
One of the reasons we should go to Mass is because it is the food of the saints that we receive. And for the saints, they understood rightly that the time after Holy Communion, that those moments are the most precious moments of our lives.
The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, live from the EWTN Chapel, every morning, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
good stuff.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and this is the last broadcast here at Catholic Answers before Christmas Day. So I hope you do have a very blessed, happy, joyful Christmas. And I wish you a happy Advent, too, because it's still Advent, and Father gets mad at me if I don't say that. And also, I mean it. I hope you do have a very blessed ending and happy ending to Advent. The super special Christmas special is something we haven't done in a couple years because we got interrupted, as many things did, by the pandemic and all that. But we love having families come in. The kids get to come in. We feed them things that we shouldn't feed them, and then they get to ask whatever question they want. And one of the great pleasures of getting to work at Catholic Answers is when the Staples family comes around. Lots of wonderful Staples kids. Tim's all right. Valerie, awesome. It's a great deal, and just one of the best people you ever meet, Luke Staples. Luke, thanks for being here.
Hello, Mr. Kellett, Father Keyes. Hope
nice
you're both doing
you.
Well.
And,
yep. Yeah,
very well. Very well. But Luke, I've known you for a while, and you could answer these questions. Like, we could have just not had Father Keyes here. Like, he really is extraordinary.
Do you want the jacket? You could have the jacket.
Would you like to wear the Christmas jacket?
That is a nice jacket, though. I must say, the pattern, it's so great.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
The thing is, Luke is a very polite person too. Mm-hmm. So that could have been a polite answer, but he might have meant it. But that could have been a polite answer. Luke, people have very strong feelings. Very strong. Our country is divided right now, and mm-hmm. people have very strong feelings about eggnog. Some are very pro eggnog, some very anti eggnog, and we have eggnog out there. I just want to get before I let you ask a question. I want to get your feelings on eggnog.
You just fully described my family battle going on.
Is there a battle within? It's tearing households apart, all this division.
Yep.
That's what we're going through in America right now.
The Staples kid who's next up is my sister Rose, and she hates and detests eggnog. Well, I love it and enjoy it fully.
Well, I always have loved and admired Rose, but I have to say I've lost some respect for her.
Oh, come on, man.
No, because eggnog is beautiful. Eggnog is a great gift. How do you feel about eggnog, Father?
I like it.
Yeah? Yeah. I'm going to let Rose.
I prefer the homemade stuff, you know.
Oh, my God. It's always work with Father. Everything's work with Father.
No, life is not meant to be easy. It's
right, but if you can take the easy route, then go ahead. No, don't.
I definitely take the easy route on eggnog. I've never made eggnog.
You've never made eggnog?
No, I go to the dairy thing, I open the door, and I look at the cartons.
It's not the same.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make it this year, but.
I assume you do have a question. I am going to let Rose, when she comes here, defend her eggnog position.
Okay.
Because I feel
defend
like we need to bring yourself. The country back together. Mm-hmm. We need more unity. But I can't mm-hmm. say that I agree with Rose. But okay. Go ahead with your question, Luke.
Right. So my question is, can we know God's existence? Or can we find God through science?
Hmm. Okay.
Now, those are two very different questions.
Oh.
You want to go with the second one?
Yeah. Can we find God through science?
Okay.
As opposed to know? Is that what you were...
Yeah, never mind. Yeah. Never mind.
I'm going to stumble on this one.
He's definitely going to stumble because your dad's sitting right over there.
Like,
and he's so,
like, come on. I know that Tim has a much better answer.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dad.
So, yes and no. I think through scientific and rational investigation, we can learn things about nature. But God is fundamentally not part of nature, right? God is transcendent. So if God were subject to the kind of proofs that we could find using the scientific method, that wouldn't be God in the way that Christians classically understand God to be, as utterly transcendent. Unlike, God is not simply the biggest piece of furniture in the metaphysical universe. God is unlike anything else. So in that sense, no. However, I do think that, through investigation of natural realities using our human reason, we can understand something about creation. And creation obviously has a relation with its creator, right? So we can in a kind of indirect way, learn something about God through his creation. And, you know, the kind of classical, again, this is not so much scientific proofs, but the kind of philosophical proofs that the tradition provides for us to think about the existence of God. You know, I think that it's important to understand the kind of motivation and rationale behind them, that when scholastic thinkers like St. Thomas Aquinas or St. Bonaventure, or people in the 13th century, when they're asking these questions, it's not that like St. Thomas doesn't believe, it's not that it's an open question for him. It's not. It's all in this kind of mode of thinking that which we call faith-seeking understanding. I mean, that's that concept. It goes way back with the idea of, okay, I believe, but I want to understand more about what I believe. And so the idea of those proofs is, I would say, more in kind of proving that belief in God is not irrational, more than it is proving in some definitive way that God exists, because in a certain sense that's not accessible to us, that kind of proof. But yeah, hopefully that is
does that help
the
you?
Question.
Well, totally makes sense. Thanks.
You know, when you were talking, I was thinking the other day I was driving home and I was listening to EWTN, The Journey Home, mm-hmm. and it had Dr. Stacy Trisankos on. And it was wonderful to hear her story. Mm. And she talks about coming, not having science prove God's existence to her, but coming to a kind of awe through the scientific process, mm. where she was trying to understand photosynthesis and realized that the intricacy and the kind of plannedness, I guess, of the universe just awed her. And that was out of that sense of awe she came to God. She, mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you? That's not a proof, but I think there are people like Stacy who or Dr. Trisankos who do come to God because of science.
Well, I guess since it's in our nature to be good, rational human beings, we're only attracted to the goodness of God through the goodness already found within.
Why does he need us? He didn't need us. That was utterly didn't need us. Luke, it's always really good to see you, Luke. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, you guys are cool.
Oh, well, we got We got that going for us. Again, was that polite or was that?
Yep. No, you guys are great. Seriously, you guys are the greatest.
Yeah, thanks, Luke.
All right.
Thanks. Thank you. Really appreciate you coming in. Oh, you get to pick a prize, by the way, a Christmas present here. You can have a Trent Horn sticker, Jimmy Akin sticker.
Socks.
You can have the pink Christmas.
He's going for the cup of noodles. I think we need more cups of noodles.
I do have more cups of noodles if we need more cups of noodles. So tell any kids who are out there that it's okay. There's more chicken cup of noodle if they need it. And I'll get it because they might have been like, the only reason I was going in there to ask a question was that I wanted more chicken cup of noodles. And now it's all gone because the Staples kids apparently are not being fed at home. I don't know what's going on there, but they're choosing food staples in the Staples household. Rose Staples, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. It's nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
And do you know Father Sam Keyes? He's our chaplain. Have you met?
Not officially.
Hello.
Father Rose Staples.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Much like her brother Luke, just one of the finest people in the world. You never feel unhappy when Rose is around. It's always nice to see you, Rose. And you're doing a podcast of your own, or is that over? Are you still doing it?
Well, we haven't done it in a while because my dad has been very busy with other things, but we're hoping to get back to it soon.
But that's how a podcast, you don't have to do it all the time. I mean, haven't done it in a while? Well, get back to it when you get back to it. But you do interviews and that kind of thing.
So far, I've only interviewed my dad. But once I figure out how to do a split screen, hopefully I'll be able to interview other people, hopefully, soon.
Would you ever be interested in, I don't know, like somebody who just like does a Catholic, you know, hosts like a Catholic call-in show or anything like that? Would that person have any chance to get on your show or no?
If you're asking about yourself, I'd say...
What makes you think that, Rose? What makes you think that?
I don't know. I just do.
Very perceptive.
Yes. Yeah, Rose is no dope. You got a question for Father?
Yes. So at Mass, women are allowed to give out communion, but I just don't understand why they can't say the Mass altogether. So why is it wrong for a woman to become a priest?
Okay. There's an interesting, distinction to make with the question, because it's not, the church doesn't say that it's wrong for a woman to become a priest. The church says that it's impossible for a woman to become a priest. So John Paul II, Ordinatio Sacerdotalis, and I can't remember if it's a letter, but it's a papal document, right? And he sort of settles this in the most definitive way that we've seen in the recent magisterium, where he defines, using the kind of full authority of the papal office, he says the church simply does not have the authority to ordain women. His reasoning for that is largely, I mean, it goes back to the apostles and the fact that Jesus appointed 12 men as apostles, and the idea of that apostolic succession. And I think this is something I've thought about a fair amount over the years, because, you know, I used to be an Episcopalian, and in the Episcopal Church and a lot of other mainline Protestant churches, there are, in fact, female ministers, right? This is something that a lot of non-Catholic churches have been doing for a while. So it's just something that I've had to think about. And I think John Paul's reasoning is, in a way, I think the church has more to think about with this in terms of understanding why it is. But I think that the basic idea is the church doesn't have the authority to do it, because Christ didn't give the church authority to do it. And he could have. I mean, I think that's an important thing to acknowledge, that it's not, you know, if you look at Jesus in the Gospels, he hangs out with a lot of women, you know, and Mary Magdalene, right? Sometimes she's referred to as the apostle to the apostles, because she's the first to kind of carry the message of the resurrection. So it would be kind of absurd to think that Jesus is somehow like merely, you know, a product of his time and sort of, he doesn't like women, and so that's why it seems that there's a definite choice there, and we can imagine it having been otherwise. So because of that choice, the church thinks that she doesn't have the authority to do that. The other kind of theological thing has to do with just Jesus himself and the idea that the priest is standing, we use the phrase, in persona Christi, at the altar. So the priest is supposed to represent God to the people, and the people to God. And the church has historically understood that because, you know, Christ is a man, similitude with the sacraments matters. There's a lot more to say too. I mean, even C.S. Lewis has written about this, and there's a kind of conscious distancing in Judaism and in the early church from the kind of pagan traditions around them, where priestesses are very common, and priestesses are closely associated with female divinities, which have a very different relationship with creation than the God of Israel. We talked about this earlier, that God is absolutely transcendent. God is not just like a piece of creation. Whereas when you start getting into the image of a feminine God, there's a kind of bodily relationship with the divinity and creation. And that's something that the early church and in fact the Jewish tradition wanted to very much avoid, to maintain that transcendence about the divine nature. I've probably talked too much, but yeah.
Well, only in this, I don't think you talked too much, but only in this sense that the time is running out, and I kind of enjoy this conversation. Do you want to have a follow-up question, or how do you feel about it?
I feel
because I didn't allow you to defend your eggnog position either, and because so we can bring you back if you want to do a follow-up. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll take the break, and then you decide if you want to come back and defend your eggnog position and follow up on this or not.
Well, okay. I think I have the answer to my question, but I would like to defend my opinion about eggnog.
About eggnog, fair enough. All right, so this is what we call a cliffhanger. All right, we'll just leave that hanging there. And when we come back, Rose will defend her eggnog, her indefensible eggnog position. And, well, maybe I'm prejudicing. I shouldn't do it that way. I'm sorry, Rose. We'll continue with the super special Christmas special here at Catholic Answers with all the questions coming from Catholic Answers kids right after this on Catholic Answers Live.